Welcome to Thrive Church Online. We are here to know God, to grow in Him, and go. We hope you feel encouraged and equipped through this week's message.
Come on, man. That is what we exist to do, is to make Jesus famous. Man, what a day to be here. It is Baptism Sunday. If you can't cheer for that. People ask, what is baptism? Baptism is a public confession of a decision to follow Jesus. So it's our way of showing the world that the dead person is dead and buried, and the new person in Christ is raised up, and you're not who you were, and you don't have to be. Here's the thing. Jesus redeemed you and forgot who you were. Stop reminding yourself. Come on, somebody. And here's the thing. That old dude will try to sneak back up, and you got to choke him out. So, there we go. I'm excited about baptism. I love it. Baptism has been an adventure for us this week. I'm not going to go into it, but hallelujah, it is getting finished. So, man, we're excited. So we're in this exciting but interesting season. So, on one hand, we're going to two locations, and we're expanding, and we're doing all that stuff. But at the same time, we've had loss in our church. Like, Sonny went on to be with the Lord this week. His funeral will be May 18th. It will be at the new location. So, we hope that you attend that and just love on his family. We'll also begin on Monday. We're going to have a drop down on our online giving for those folks who would like to contribute. I would love personally that we pay for the cremation process for his family, just to take that debt off of them. So if it's something you're able to do, we would appreciate it. But I have a number that I feel like that we're going to give as a church, and then anything on top of that will just go to help them out. Because we don't build buildings, we build people. People forget what you do. People forget what you say. People always remember how you make them feel. And we want them to feel loved and honored during this season. We are trucking along on the building. I should have had pictures to show you. We have an amazing group of people that have been there working and taking care of that. And it is going to be, it's just going to be such a neat place. I told people, but it's going to be weird because we run about 200 on any given weekend, and we shove them all into a cracker box. So energy in here is easy, right? Like, this place rocks sometime. There is going to be seating for about 300. So we're going to be going from Aladdin, a whole lot of potential and itty bitty living space, to a lot of square footage. But here's what we believe. We're going to start with two services, because my belief is that by the end of the year, we're going to double our ministry to 400. Not because we want numbers. I want souls and people, right? I love making the devil mad. I think a lot of the crazy that's going on in our church is because we're making the devil mad. And I like it. I like making the devil mad. I like a little bit of pressure. I like a little bit of chaos. Because here's what I believe. I had a pastor look at me one time, and he's like, he had a bunch of stuff going on. Somebody stole a bunch of stuff from their church and all this. And he looked at me. I called him and said, "Hey, dude, how are you doing?" And he's like, "Man, I was made for this." Here's what I believe. I believe that you were created for such a time as this. I don't think you're at this church. I don't think you're in this season. I don't think we're in this season. I know I didn't expect this to happen this way. I know Pastor C didn't expect for to be where we're at right now. But man, it was God ordained. And so now we're like, what the heck? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're about to kick the tires and light the fires. But I think we have to go to the Word and really look at what that process looks like. So if you will, we're going to go ahead and begin in verse 1. Joshua chapter 4 in verse 1. And we're just going to kind of take a walk through the story. It says, "When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, each from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone, place it on your shoulder according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. And so I come this morning, and basically I figured this out. A miracle had just happened, right? So like the sea had parted. Okay, it's bigger than yeah. I don't mean this bad. If I show up at a lake and the thing's split in two and I can walk across on dry land, I'm going to be more than yeah. I'm going to be flipping out. I'm going to be IGing some stuff. Turtle. Fish, right? Duck lips, because up there's a duck. Right? Like for real, this is a miracle. This isn't happenstance. It's not man-made. It's not created. This is a God-ordained moment in history. It's a moment that not only are they going to talk about, because see, some miracles are only for you. And people mislabel miracles all the time. I found my keys. It was a miracle. No, it's not. You just need air tags. I almost got hit, but it was a miracle out of nowhere. I stopped my car. That's a miracle, but that's a miracle for you. Like everybody else is going to see that miracle and be like. But if you roll up and go, hey, dude, so me and a couple of folks, like a whole nation, came to a river a couple of times in our journey. And the Lord parted it. And we walked across not in mud, but on dry ground. Tell me more. And so God, through Joshua, tells him, says, look, I want you, as you go through there, I want you to pick up a stone and I want you to put it on your shoulder. Now, some of us don't like to work hard. Can you imagine being the rascal? He's like, I don't know what tribe he's from, right? But he leans down and gets the little stone and puts it on his shoulder. But you can't be a schmuck. Here's what I figured out. Dudes have to outdo the other dude. God put it in our DNA. Can I be honest? Like, if you can lift 2 2x4s, I will lift 4 4x4s. If you can lift, look, I watch guys while we've been doing this remodel get hernias for the sake of egos. Like, they got a bulge just sticking. I'm okay. I got it. You need some help? No, I'm good, right? So I can only imagine the size rocks that these guys are carrying out. And here's what I came to ask myself a question. So we're in a process of really seeing God do the miraculous. You know, I thought that the way God would do this is we would go either rent or purchase property. We started on our first property at about $1,400 a month. They got to $4,700 a month because we were in a bidding war. We lost. $4,700 bucks, we'll meet in a tent. That's like, my math isn't good, but that's up near 60K before we do anything. No. And so I got home, I looked at my wife and I was like, I don't know what God's doing. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to 4 services and we're going to, right? So if I can't make more room, I'll make more services. We'll reach people. So we start making these process, and nowhere, out of nowhere on a Sunday, somebody calls, somebody who calls. So finally we connect, and I'm like, there's no way this is going to work. Because we're unique. Not everybody wants all this. Anybody invited people? You ever invited folks over to your house, and you're like, hey, before you get here. Because this is a lot. Just your pastor alone is a lot to deal with. Can we just be honest? Like some of the things I say and some of the things I do push the envelope just a little bit. But man, out of nowhere, God orchestrates this amazing coming together for the body of Christ. Because the Lord wants us to have a bigger net to catch fish in. But if all we're doing is building a building, then we don't get the point. We can't be a church of people over processes if the point of this is a building. Now, the building is part of the net that we use, right? Because I would like to have a little space. Some of you guys that are touching somebody shoulder to shoulder that you don't know right now would love to have a little bit more. Can I, like, I love you. I'm glad you're here. But your hairy arm's touching my hairy arm, and that's a little awkward. But my question is, like, what are you taking out of this series? Like, out of this season, what is God really doing in your heart? Because if we're not building a movement, if we're not building a legacy, if we're not building something bigger than a building, I'm not interested. I'm not interested in something that isn't a movement, that's not a legacy, not just for our generation, but for generation after generation to come in and be like, what are you guys doing? I told somebody, I said, I can't wait for the day when they're tearing down everything we built to adjust to the next generation. I will be the one on the thing going, ooh, I hate seeing that go, build it. Remodel the temple so that it's always reaching the people, because the temple was never made to be the God. It was made to meet with God. Does this make sense? So, like, what are we taking out of this? So, Joshua goes on and he says this. It says, and when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Here's what's going to happen. I love the fact that we are building this with women, children, and men. All of Caleb's boys have been there. They did find a handicapped scooter. They ran over. Josh Bailey got absolutely drugged by it. He was run over. We did figure out it's not four-wheel drive. When it gets to an ankle, it'll stop. Pastor Josh, I believe, was part of that collision process. Good news is the scooter was not hurt. Bad news is we can't say that much for people. But here's what's going to happen. All these little boys, I was laughing. Michael's son was there, and him and Josiah built a secret fort. And then on IG, we posted their secret handshake, which I don't guess is really that secret since we posted it online. But the point of it is Josiah came off his ladder, quit his work to go do what was the most important, and that's build the next generation. So I sit there and I go, man, when our children, because if it's about us, it's vain. If it's about us, what we're doing is hollow. But if we really believe that we're building a movement, that we're building an impact on a county, here's the thing. I believe this, that at Southern Alamance County and Super Western Alamance County are so underserved by non-traditional faith churches that people are dying for it. There's a generation that goes, hey, I went to church with my parents and I love God. I'm just not sure about doing it that way. That's okay. Doesn't mean that they don't love God. It just means that they want to approach God with a different set of processes. Getting to the same point. My question is to you, what are you going to say to your kids or your grandkids when they go, hey, why did you volunteer here? Why did you decide that this was what you wanted to do? And the question is, are you building a building or are you building a legacy? So I've done so many funerals lately, it's a little much. So here's a rule. You or none of your family can die. I'll do your wedding. I'll dedicate some kids. Hallelujah. You can be 95. We will pick you up and dedicate you. Like, I am. We'll do a bunch of baptisms. I'm down with all that stuff, right? I'm just over funerals. But here's what I hate. I hate meeting with the family and going, hey, tell me a little bit about your loved one. Here are the ones that I hate. He was a good man. He worked hard. Can I say something about working hard? 2 months after you're gone, you're going to be some dude they don't remember, but they blame everything on.
This place sucks because he was here.
So what if you did this? What if you said, I'm going to reverse engineer my life. I'm going to start with my death and work backwards. Because should we not go by rapture, it's appointed unto each one of us, nobody knows when, to die. Now, I'm not trying to depress you. I wear one of the medals I have that I wear around my little medallion I wear around my chest is in Latin, and it says "Live to Die." Because to me, it's so inspirational, it's so freeing. Because I go, you know what? What I have to do today is love my wife and son well. Because here's the thing: I love all y'all, but the chances of you being around when I kick the bucket, thin and none. You're not going to be the ones gathered around my bed. You're welcome to come. Probably not going to be there. So my number one thing is I have to be in relationship with God, then my family, then my calling. Nothing else really matters in life. Because as you go through that, they go, man, he was a good man. Yeah, but was he saved? Yeah, he worked hard. Well, we should. You should work hard. But what are you working for? Like, what's the means? If the means to the end is just money, you are one economic collapse away from your life being meaningless. If it's about what house, nobody, I've never done a funeral and said, hey, let me tell you about their house. Is it about cars? Is it about clout? Is it about influence? Like, what's the legacy that you're going to build? And what are you using that legacy to leverage? And it goes on, and I ask this. I'm like, man, do you want to be a part of a movement or just a church? Who you do? I attend church. He was a good man. He attended church. Really? Is that the definition? Or could you say, hey, you know what? I helped build the church. Remember that in the legacy. Hey, you know what? I served in the church. I served God and I served people. Every week I showed up and I asked God a question. God, how do you want to use me? You know what? I had a talent of sheetrock, or I had a talent of painting, or I had no talent, but I tried anyway. Because remember, the only person in the parable of the talents that Jesus ever got mad at was the one who did nothing. God did not create you to do nothing. He called you to pick up a stone and go build a legacy, not just for yourself, and we thank God for that, but for generations after us, for people who don't even know that they need God. We're building a church so that they can come and find hope. They can come and find life. That generational curses and addictions and marriages are restored, and all these things are happening in people's lives, where God is breaking chains of who they are and who they were and birthing them into what they can be. What's the why behind it? He goes on and he says this in verse 7. It said, and then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant when it was passed over Jordan, and the waters of the Lord were cut off, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. See, here's what I believe. I believe we have a moment right now that we're in where we can build a memorial that'll last forever. Till Jesus comes back. Now, I'll just say this. When Jesus comes back, you can have it. I'm going. Toot, toot, scoot. Right? But don't you want to be able to go, hey, you know what? I'm part of a church that's not just for this generation. Look, when I think about our church, I think about who's going to take my place. I think about how we're going to lead other campuses. Because if you think this building on 87 is the end of it, it's not. This isn't the mountaintop. If this is the mountaintop in your mind, you're missing the point. Because it's not and never been about buildings. I hate building projects. No, listen, I despise building projects. Hate them. And every 5 minutes, we've done them. For real, every time we've torn something out, put it back in, and right? Because if that's what's required to build something that's going to have an eternal value, then that's what we'll do. God never called me to like it. He just called me to be involved in it. And I guess my question is to you is this, is are you doing something that's going to last forever? Or does your life get so sucked into the temporal that you can't think about forever? You can't think about what you're building that will be an honor to the Lord that's going to last forever. Verse 8 says this, and the people of And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there. Let me ask you a question. Are you willing to do what the Lord asks of you? I talked about this last week, and I said this. Most people are busy asking God if that's Him speaking. What if we just went and assumed it was God's voice and started doing stuff? My dad used to have a saying. He'd look at me and go, "Son, do something if it's wrong. Don't put your hands in your pocket, boy. Do something. Look, if we got to fix it, get your hands out of your pocket. Get to work." Do you ever wonder if maybe God says that to us? He's like, "Do something if it's wrong. Like, let's assume it's me talking. Get involved." Like, if you're here, a calling of God is not for you to attend. That's where you grow. But we know that you have to know, grow, and go. Get to doing something if it's wrong. Anybody ever tried to launch a kid into adulthood? Get a job. If it doesn't work, go get another one. But do something, because you can't live here forever. We're glad you're here. We want you to be here. We want you to launch well. But don't miss the point. We want you to go, because it's good for you. And it's good for us, because families weren't built this way. Does this make sense? Like, you've got to go live your life, and you've got to go step into your purpose. And here's what I think God is saying. It's okay that you're where you are now, but you can't stay there. An old saint is not somebody who's been in the church forever. You don't get sainthood by attendance. Like, you just count on everybody else to die so you can become more spiritual. Sainthood is a spiritual position. People who love God and are answering yes to the call of doing exactly what God told them to do in the season they're in. My question to you is, man, are you answering yes to that call? The other thing is this. Are you willing to carry a stone to help somebody else remember? Remember that these stones that they're carrying is not for them. But we saw it. We saw God do the miraculous. You ain't got to pile some stones up for me to remember that God parted the Red Sea. Like, I think I'm going to remember that. Anybody ever have memories that you can't get out of your head? And you're like, "Well, look, I don't need anything to remind me." You should get a tattoo for that. No, I shouldn't. I will not forget. God looks and says, "Hey, are you willing to carry something that's heavy? Not for yourself, but for somebody else. Are you willing to carry a stone for people who haven't even been born yet?" But understand that when you say yes to carrying a stone, you're saying yes to having your life interrupted. The minute you look at God and go, "Hey man, I'm yours," He's going to go, "Really? Because I need your time." "Well, God, I ain't got a lot of time." "I know. I want to interrupt your life. But God, I'm tired." "I know. I want to interrupt your sleep." "But God, other churches don't do this." "I know, because you can't be called to a peculiar ministry and do what everybody else does." Why do we ask for 100% of the people that attend our church to be involved in serving? Because this, you can't get to the front of the line with Jesus until you get to the back of the line. You can't be served until you're willing to serve. You can't, look, Part of our process that God is calling us to build is something for the next generation. Now, granted, we're going to get some of the fruit off of that, but it's how we find our value but give value and direction to the next generation. Like, we're building something so much bigger than who we are, but in order to do that, man, your life has to get hijacked. Not forever, but for seasons. There are seasons where you got to go, "Hey, this isn't going to be comfortable." Anybody ever notice? Anybody ever fast? Anybody ever fast food? You can fast a lot of stuff, right? The minute you declare a fast, you're hungry. I remember one time I was going to fast after Thanksgiving for a couple of days and just draw close to the Lord. And so I ate this big multiple meals, and I got up from the table and was like, okay, Lord, my fast begins right now. My stomach went, and I'm like, there's no way I can be hungry. I just ate an entire pheasant. Right? I'm stuffed with stuffing. I've eaten enough sweet stuff to give three people diabetes. Like, I cannot possibly be hungry. But the minute you declare that you're going to do something for the Lord, cue uncomfortability. The minute you decide to have quiet time, your alarm won't go off. The minute you decide that you're going to pray, everybody's going to call. The minute you decide you're going to get alone with God, it's going to get interrupted. Does this make sense? Because there's always a price to pay for building anointing in your own life. What is anointing? Anointing is the presence of God flowing into and out of your life. And it's a calling, but it's also work. So I'm sitting here and I'm going, man, if I'm in your seat, what is the point of it? The point of it is this, is that God wants to build something bigger than who and what you are. And so verse 9 picks up this way, and it says, and Joshua set up 12 stones in the place where the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and there they are to this day. For the priest bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste, and when all the people had finished passing over, the ark and the priest passed over before the people, and the sons of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh passed over, armed before the people of Israel, as Moses had told them to do. Here's what I believe. I believe that we can possess everything that the Lord told us we could. Well, what do you want to possess, Alamance County? Not just for us. Like we'll help every church in Alamance County that we possibly can gain a foothold. Like, this ain't our show. But if nobody else will, we'll raise up an army and we'll go take the land. Does that make like this is not a halfway commitment thing. This is like a movement of God that I'm willing to die for. And I can't say that I'm willing to die for God if I'm not willing to give up my time or my talents or my resources or my, does this make sense? It requires something so deep and so personal in us that it stirs it. And you go, man, I don't have anything to offer. Offer something. I believe that we're about to make godly history. I believe that we're about to do something in Alamance County that's never been done before. Especially Southern Alamance County. Like when I drive around Southern Alamance County, we've got some great churches. We've got, you know, Hope here in town is great. We've got several others that are just phenomenal churches. But we're called to a unique ministry. And I just feel like our land starts with Southern Alamance. Eventually, we want to go Western Alamance. It's another part of our county that's underserved. And we just want to plant churches. Why? Because people are going to hell. And matter of fact, I want to read this to you. It says, in verse 24, I ask the question, why are we doing this? Verse 24, I believe, answers it. So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. That you may fear the Lord your God forever. I want you to notice this is a two-part reason why. The first reason is for them. He said, I want people to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. Why does God want to do something? Because He wants people to see that God is up to something. Especially in this generation. Because like you don't have to be like a prophet that reads the book of Revelation to know that like time is short. We can either complain about what's going on in the world or change the world. That's our call. Well, what if God, well, it's only if God wills it. Well, let me ask you a question. It's not God's will that any should perish, but all come on. So God already said the net is there. Matter of fact, He said this, the fields are white and ready to be harvested. The problem is not the harvest. He said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Can I just say this? A lot of people in church don't want to work for it. Oh, I want this kind of church. I want this kicking. I want this awesome. I think we should have greeters. I think we should, blah, blah, right? Will you volunteer? No, look, man, I'm busy. Somebody needs to grab that stone and go make a monument. I love when people come to me with a new ministry and they're like, hey, Pastor, you know what we should do? We should start this ministry. And I'm like, great, so you're volunteering to lead it? No, I'm not. I mean, I'm just telling you, I feel like it's what the Lord would have. And I'm like, so let me get this straight. The Lord told you that this was needed and needed here. Didn't say nothing to me. So who do you think He's asking to lead this? Let me ask you a question. What kind of church are you trying to build? Because it says this, I want the world to know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. In other words, I want Jesus famous. Somebody should make a church, I don't know, to make Jesus famous. And believe it enough, they inked it. But then He said this, and I want you to remember to fear the Lord. Now that's not fear like I'm afraid Dad's going to whip me with a belt or not pick me up in the rapture. Some of y'all were talking some jacked up theology. Can I get a... God's just trying to send you to hell. You better be right in the rapture. Listen, you need to accept Jesus and you're going in the rapture. Dad's going to pull up in a minivan, toot the horn, and we all go, right? I'm not, that's a little hyperbole there or metaphor, but that's the process. So I'm not worried about getting in the van. I love my father. My dad picking me up from school, which was sometime hellish, was always a good day. Now you understand the rapture. But what God does want to do is when He pulls up, He wants to see you about His business. He wants to see you acting like one of His kids. He wants to see you talking like one of His kids. He wants to go, hey, so how did school go? I remember I sucked at school. I majored in women and sports. Wasn't good at either one of them. Thank nobody for saying amen. But here's the reality. Your parents pick you up. What'd you do at school today?
Nothing.
How was practice? Okay. My greatest days were this, when I could pull up and go, hey, dude, hey. So one time I was playing soccer. I was a goalie and I got kicked in the face and you could see my orbital bone. So I grabbed a towel, put it over my head and drove to meet my parents. When I got out, it was dripping. My dad's like, dude, that don't look good. And I'm like, look, you can see my bone. I was excited about it. Parents, not so much. They had to pay the bill. And then I busted under that one, wrestling. And I'm like, hey, look, you can really see the bone in this one. Because here's the thing. Sometimes our pain has purpose. Sometimes our scars are meant to tell stories. So here's what I think. I think that as we build something that's so unique, that what God really wants to do is He wants to bring some purpose to our pain. He wants our scars to tell stories so that we can go, hey, look, I battled something for the Lord because I need His approval. I need Him to look at me and go, well done. How many of us fight for the approval of so many people who don't matter and we miss the one who does? So I'm sitting here and I'm like, man, maybe what God is calling us to do in this generation is to build something bigger than us. I had a guy call me and he's like, man, how are you going to deal with having that many pastors on your team? And I'm like, I guess we'll just take more land. I guess, I'd love to take over a bar next. Or a strip club. Wouldn't that be dope? Somebody have to give their tithe in ones, just like make it rain in the house. Anybody, this has nothing to do with Jesus. Anybody remember that old song? Let it rain. Let it. Here's what I believe. I believe that in this moment, you've got an opportunity to be a part of something bigger than you. You've got an opportunity to build something that's going to outlive you. You've got the opportunity to be a part of a movement that your kids and grandkids can be a part of and be proud of. You've got an opportunity to stand before the Lord and say, I kept people from going to hell because I used my talents for you. The only question in all of this is where are you at? I did not get in the ministry to build buildings. It's not my heart. I hate building, but I love people. And if people means I have to sacrifice for God something I don't want to do so that he can do what he does want to do, which is horrible grammar, but we're in Southern Alamance so we can get away with it. What are you willing to give up so that God can build his house? Because anything you're closed-fisted with God about, you're not willing to give up, is your God. I'll give time, but don't ask me for money. I'll give money, but don't ask me for time. I'll serve, but not with a good attitude. What are you closed-fisted about this morning? What's God trying to build in and through you? Because if it's just a building, I don't want it. But if it's the place where heaven can kiss earth, where people's lives can be changed, where the lost can be found, and the blind can receive sight, and the deaf hearing, and people that are in bonds of addiction and in bonds of chains can find freedom, that's what I'm about. So today, here's what I want to do. I want to pray. We're going to step into baptism in just a second. But this is a personal question. I'm going to talk to believers first. What are you willing to do personally? What are you willing to sacrifice so that other people can find Jesus? What are you willing to do to make Jesus famous? Let's pray. Father, as we come to close, I ask that in this moment, you allow us to search our hearts. God, let us push into the question of what are you asking us to do in this moment? And God, give us the strength to say yes. God, if it's given of our time, let us be faithful. And if it's given of our resources, if it's given of our attendance, if it's given of our serving, God, whatever you're calling us in this season to do, God, give us the courage to say yes. With every head down and every eye closed, nobody looking around, we're not going to embarrass you. We just want to pray with you. But if you're here today and you go, you know what, Pastor? I would love to give my life to Jesus. I know I'm not where I belong. I know I'm not in the right place with God. But man, I'm interested in taking that journey. I want to try. I want to commit to living a life for Jesus. God knows you're not going to be perfect, but he's asking for a try. If that's you, we just slip your hand up. We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Anybody else online, here in house? For the four or five people that raised their hand this morning, man, can we just all pray together? Faith is never meant to be done alone. We're not going to embarrass you, but we just want to give you an opportunity. Romans says that if a man confesses with his heart, believes in his heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, he shall be saved. Man, this is your moment to make that confession and to believe in God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, right now I invite you into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Today I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And you accept me as your son or daughter. I can never do anything to be worthy, but you loving me makes me worthy. You forgiving me makes me worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being part of our Thrive Tribe. If you want to partner with this ministry and what the Lord is doing here at Thrive, visit thrivechurchonline.com and click on the Give tab. Help us reach more people just like you by rating and subscribing to this podcast. You don't want to miss what's coming next.